Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I'm here tonight with my co-host, Al. He's going to be asking questions of our guest. And before we get started with her and I introduce her, I want to welcome everybody. Every week we do this from 8 to 9 p.m. on a Wednesday, unless something major happens, you know, that we can't. And, of course, there'll be a notice on both sites, on Stars with a Z, psychics.com, and on mysticlivingtoday.com. So I make sure everybody knows about it. Go to mysticlivingtoday.com. The new magazine is up. And excuse my voice, it sounds a little raspy. But that's okay. You can still understand me. Tonight we have a very special guest. I know I probably say this every week, but this lady and her husband have done something wonderful for the children. And her name is Marilyn Witt. And we're so happy to have you tonight, Marilyn.
Thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to our discussion.
Yes, and Al, of course, is here. Welcome, Al. It's always nice when you have a co-host because then you don't have to talk as much, although everybody knows that I can talk up a storm. Marilyn, wait till you hear me. I mean, sometimes I'm nonstop and I talk so fast, somebody says to me, well, you need to slow down a little, but I've got so much to say. Anyways, Marilyn, I'd like you to begin and tell the listeners how you got into the Hearts of Baha Children's Network, how you got started with the children. I'm fascinated by your whole story, but I think coming from you will make a lot more sense with everybody else. So why don't you begin with that?
Okay, happy to. My husband and I retired, living in the U.S. Just about 3 years ago. And within a couple of months, when we were exploring, I, on my own, fell into an orphanage. I didn't know anything. I was lost. And then I got found. Literally, I pulled into this, what I thought was a compound of some sort. And there were a few children running around. But predominantly what struck me that day was, as I pulled in, you could see a bunch of kids coming out of a big, 14-seater van. And I asked this gentleman who was driving if he spoke poquito English, because my Spanish is very limited. At this point, it's getting better. And he did. So I just asked a few questions about where the heck I was, because I needed to get back to where I was headed. But in the process, I was so intrigued about this, and he explained that they were an orphanatorio, and I asked a few more questions, and then I went on my merry way. But when I got home, I told my husband what had taken place, and he too was very interested, because as Americans, I don't know, we have so many systems and different foundations, foster care.
Right.
Not everything in the U.S. works perfectly, but it's still, there's systems in place so that if a person needs support in many ways, they can try to plug into those systems. What we learned very quickly was that in Mexico, there are no systems. There's no WIC. There's no foster care. Adoption is very, very limited. And so we went home after a second visit, and we both just, I mean, it was like a bolt through your heart. We just knew that there
right.
was such a great
well,
need.
I can imagine.
And we wanted to see what we as retirees, literally living on regular old pensions, what could we really do realistically? On our second visit, as I say, we asked that director of the home, because by then we knew, you know, more what it was, and we asked him, well, what do you need the most? And his answer was immediate. He said, food. And I started kind of having trouble eating. I mean, sure, I ate. I'm a plus-size woman to start with, but I just was having trouble with the amazing cost of living that we experience, allowing us to eat better, healthier, more organic, higher quality. So I would be sitting at my dinner table reflecting on these kids not having enough. So we went back after the discussion that, okay, we're going to try to bring food to this one home. And that's where we started. And it continued to grow until now. We've been to over 80 orphanages. They're commonly called group
wow.
homes or homes. And there's about 120 plus in the region between Ensenada and Tijuana, Mexico, Baja Norte. And supposedly, we haven't verified this, but we've heard from the directors themselves that there's as many as 6,000 abandoned children. They're not true orphans because they do have living relatives. Most of them do, but they simply are not able to care for them. So they do what they feel is giving their child a gift to bring them to where they know they'll have at least some food, clothes, shoes, a roof over their head, running water and electricity. Because if they are so impoverished that they can't provide those, then they would rather their children have a better chance. So we
if they have health issues? I mean, all of these kids, I mean, are they provided for? I mean, and Al, you can intervene, Al. Al lives near all this, right, Al? You are not far from all of this?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I'm real close by.
Okay, so Al, you've probably seen all of these orphanages, right?
In reality, I've been to two of them, and I visited one about 8 months ago. Actually, I think in November or December, I can't remember off the top of my head. And when I walked into this, I went to this orphanage, and it was cold outside. I mean, it was cold. And when I walked into the orphanage, I walked into a dorm where the beds were neatly made, and there were stuffed animals all on the bed. It was nice. It looked really good, but it was freezing in there. And I remember asking the people that were running the orphanage, I go, is there heaters? And they said, they have no heaters. I go, are you kidding me? And as I was looking at this bed with all the stuffed animals, I remembered my daughter at that time when she was 5, 6 years old, and how she had a bunch of stuffed animals, but she was in a warm home, and it was cozy. And I remember telling myself, this isn't right. To make a long story short, what I eventually did is I reached out to my community, and we ended up getting heaters for 7 heaters for this one orphanage, and we had enough money to buy them shoes. But to answer your question, yes, I've been to 2 orphanages, and then the first one was the one I just told you about.
Oh, well, you know, if I was there, that would break my heart. I mean, children, you know, they look up to the adults, to the family members, and to be left. Now, Marilyn, some of these kids, were they placed by their parents, or they were just wandering around, or somebody found them and brought them back to one of these homes? What are the circumstances?
Predominantly, children are placed by the Child Protective Services of Mexico, which is called DIF, D-I-F. I can't honestly tell you what the words are, the initials stand for in Spanish, but it's a big old long name. At any rate, like Child Protective Services, when they receive reports and alerts, they will investigate what is going on in a home. And sadly, sometimes, as in any country, they need to pull the children from the home. Sometimes the kids go back, but usually the problems are drug-related. Perhaps prostitution is involved, abuse, being in the drug life. Those are pretty solid reasons, and the kids usually never go back to their home. So, of course, psychologically, you have children of all ages that are, you know, they're going from their version of this is my mom, this is my dad, this is my life, to now they're in a group home without their parents. And as we know, in any country, again, you know, children don't know what normal is until they grow up and become old enough to understand the perception of normal that we've established for them. To them, you know, daddy shooting up or mommy having uncles in the house or things like that. They don't know the difference. Sometimes parents do drop their children off. We see that around the beginning of November, when tourism has completely chilled out for the season, parents will drop their children off again as a gift, knowing that they can't take care of them through the winter. They may live in a box or they may live, you know, in a lean-to, even, you know, tents, things like that up in the hills. And so they bring their children to the homes for the winter. And then starting around spring break, when the maid jobs, the handymen, when work picks up, then some of them go back and claim their children. But unfortunately, many of them have discovered that they actually can't pick up the ball. And so, again, they leave their children believing that that's a better life for them. However, in many cases, just as I got home in time to take this call, we went to visit one of our homes just today. We have two new babies. We have a month-old Francisco, and we have a three-month-old Zitlali, who I immediately named Lollipop. Priceless.
Oh,
she sleeps,
yes.
And she grins. That's it. She doesn't know how to do anything but sleep or grin. And they were sadly dropped off. And Hartza Baha is simply going to try to nurture them as best we can. I will be speaking to them in English only. My intent is to go twice a week for about an hour just to cuddle them, because we know babies need to be loved and held
right.
and stroked. So
how what age do they usually, can they just take off on their own? Like, what is the oldest? What's the age range? I know you said like somebody that's just someone that's just a few months old, a baby. But how old usually do you find that they decide, well, I've had enough of this. I'm leaving and I'm going to make my own way. I mean,
well, very
is
good
it a
question.
Teenager?
They are legally there until 18 years, unless they continue in education. And so most of the kids who are motivated and get good grades in high school, because, yes, they go to school too, they can stay up to 26 as long as they're in education. So many of them stay. Others do leave at 18, but they have basically no opportunity. When we talk to the teenage girls, you know, because we try to build self-esteem, we try to look to the future in the sense that this is a piece of your life. The life is very long, and you have many, many opportunities after you leave here. So let's
right.
look at that. And the girls,
right.
by and large, see themselves as maids. The boys usually don't see themselves at all. They know their chances are very limited. So we recently were donated 8 notebooks, and my husband is passed his IT, so he's just barely finished getting them ready. And we're going to donate those to the kids this at the end of August, who are going to go on to college. They'll still live at the home, and they'll have their room and board, but they'll take the bus to the local satellite universities, and then they'll have technology to support them, because that, of course, is another aspect. These kids don't have technology, so when they are of age and they enter the real world, they're so far behind the learning curve, because they don't know the programs. They don't know what to do. They know about cell phones, but they don't have them.
Looks like we lost her. Wow, Al, this is amazing. I have lots of questions for her. Wait for her to call back in. It's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, and we'll wait for Melvin to call back in. Here's the one thing. And you can relate to this a little bit. There's one common denominator that the three of us have here on this call, and that's you and Melon and I have huge hearts. That's why you do what you do, because you have a huge heart. You like giving, and that's what Marilyn does. She has a huge,
oh,
huge
yeah,
heart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, I'm not going to put myself there, but I already know who I am, but the three of us, as being who we are,
right? We're all one and the same. Here she is. She's back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
there
you are. Al and I were just. Well, Al was just saying, Marilyn, that the three of us are one and the same because we all have huge hearts. I do what I do. I do a lot. I help people. I help a lot of people financially, but what you're doing is for the young people. And it's got to be difficult when they get to be older, because they're going to look back and see what they didn't have emotionally. Are there like psychologists and that work with them to show them that this is just a chapter. This you will do this. You will go on. there's probably so many that are so talented that can do so many things. And look at the start. Oh, it breaks my heart. It really does. I want to say also it's called Buy a Box of Chicken, and that's the GoFundMe.com, right? Hearts of Baja. We have to keep telling everybody about that.
Yes,
and it doesn't matter where
that.
You're from. It doesn't matter where you're from, my listeners. You can be from the United States. You could be listening from anywhere. It doesn't matter. These are people. I'm on my little podium. These are young children. It doesn't matter that they're in Mexico. They need help. So you go to GoFundMe.com/Hearts of Baja. And I imagine that they can donate whatever they want, right, Marilyn? I mean, it's why did you call it
actually,
Buy a Box of Chicken? Oh, I know why. I know why. It's
yes,
cute. I love it.
Actually, yes. And thank you very much for that. In a way, we have just recently come up with an even better plan. GoFundMe keeps 6% of anything donated, and our PayPal, which you can find on our website, which is real simple, heartsofbaja.com. There's a donate button
okay.
that brings you to PayPal. You can click on the little box that says reoccurring. We are literally asking 200 people to donate $5 a month to give up one Starbucks, one dessert, one glass of wine, one anything. I'm giving up carbs, but that's another story for another day. 200 people times five gives us a secure base. We do have fundraisers, but they are so much work, and you never even know if you're going to make any money. We have a few small sponsors, but I don't really feel shy at all in asking 200 people to offer us $5 a month, because that keeps the programs we have going. And like I was mentioning, the notebooks, my husband coming from the IT field, he would love to do some miniature computer labs. But again, everything takes money, and sometimes not a lot of money, but it still takes money.
Of course it does. Now, if somebody wants to just donate, like, for the whole year at one time, which amounts to, what, only $60, I guess it is, they can do that as well. Or they can donate any amount if they don't want to do the reoccurring, I'm assuming, correct?
Absolutely. All we do is say thank you.
Yeah, you don't ever say no to money.
To,
if they want to give you $10, they want to give you $20,
right.
Take it. Just take it.
That's right.
And again, I'm appealing to everybody that's listening. I have a lot of listeners, people that will listen after. I mean, this makes me want to cry.
Don't cry because we have a lot more to talk about.
I'm a super empath. If you know what an empath is, it's like my heart and my soul are connected, and they kind of pop out like right to you or right to anybody. I mean, you know, there's things that I see, and they're appalling, and it doesn't matter where they are. They're little kids. They're the youth.
Yes.
They are our tomorrow. They are what's come. I mean, you know, I have a granddaughter that's 14 that. I make sure she, and of course she's got everything that she needs. And, you know, my son will say, well, why do you do this, Mom? I said, because I can, and I'm going to make sure. And my concern, too, is as they're growing up in this environment, are they resentful? I mean, how do they feel, Marilyn? Do they mostly come out, you know, because they have to have help. You need guidance. They have to have psychological help to let them know that, it's not always going to be like this, little one. It's not going to be like this. You're going to see. The sun will come up tomorrow, and a year from now, you're going to look back. And, I could talk about it. You're going to look back, and you're going to say, I made it through. I made it through an awful lot in my life, and I'm still standing. And I know that there are people out there that can help, that need to help, even if it's $5, people. Go to heartsofbaja.com and give $5. I mean, come on. That's not very much money. You probably spend that.
Click on the donate button.
Yeah, okay.
Let me answer your question and tell you more about the populations that we serve. One of the populations that we serve is also special needs. It could be educational or it could be physical. We have a total of 4 homes that house those children ages up to 35. And they range from severely learning disabled to adult diapers. And so that's another facet that we deal with. And there's anyone who knows a disabled child knows that that is, again, talk about abandoned. These kids have been shoved back in the corner. Not anymore, because I opened the drapes. I opened the windows. I opened the doors. I was a high school special ed teacher, and I just couldn't bear that. So now they have a lot more of what they need. But again, because we're limited on our funding, we can't do everything. But I tell you this, we have plans as we grow, Hearts of Baja grows, we have plans for betterment of all the populations in the home. Right now we're keeping up with tube fed and adult diapers and things like that. But my dream is that eventually we will be able to hire, because most volunteers are looking at 2 to 4 hours a week, sometimes a month. We need to be able to have the funding to hire retired special ed teachers to go in and
right.
do exercises and work. But these are
yes.
people like everyone else down here that's retired. They're on their own limited pension, so they would need to be paid. And right now we simply don't have the funding. But that's a dream.
And even retired teachers could help.
Yeah, and
even
we have retired teachers, but as I say, they're willing to give just a few hours a month, and this is obviously a larger job than that. You mentioned, you know, when they leave the homes and all of their feelings about their past, and, you know, are they resentful? So here's the thing. Again, coming from my background, I believe self-esteem is an incredibly real thing and that we can increase higher self-esteem with effort. One of my other dreams is I'm right now in the midst of trying to track down the Myers-Briggs in Spanish because I believe that even a child living in a group home, they have transferable skills. Say the older ones take care of the younger ones. Say they have chores out in the gardens. You know, they're still, the Myers-Briggs is a test that's pretty universal. It highlights a person's strengths and weaknesses. I want to teach these kids how to take those transferable skills, put them into a very simple, basic resume, and feel empowered to be that busboy or that maid as an entry-level job, but to show them through the testing that indeed you are capable of so much more, and let's build on that. I want to do an internship program down here via the hotels. Because I did job coaching when I was a teacher, and my special ed kids, they learned how to fold 11 kind of towels in the Holiday Inns in Southern California. These kids can as well. They can learn. They can grow. But we have to give them confidence. We have to give them hope. I mean, what do they say? The last thing to go is hope? Well, I refuse to let the hope die. And so the kids that we work with, which in this moment is 22 orphanages / group homes, comes to 704 kids. Oh, no, wait, that's 706. We just got the 2 babies. So 706 kids. To the best of my ability and our volunteers, and of course my husband's, we're partners in this, those kids are going to have hope. And I can't promise you in every child's life what that hope will look like, but we're trying very hard to get to know them as individuals and see what does this child need to go further in their life. Because 18, we know, is so young. I'm turning 65. Yay! I'm excited about getting Medicare. But these kids, they don't realize that life is so long, that they have so much opportunity ahead of them. We have to give them that
right.
hope. But before
it's
we can give them
really
hope,
discouraging
we got to make sure we give them food.
When they
food.
Start thinking, yeah, right. You know, Marilyn, when they start thinking, like, say they're 15, 16, 17, they start looking ahead and thinking, oh, good, goody, what am I going to do now? Where am I going to go now? What kind of am I going to be able to work? Do you have like a buddy system where like maybe somebody, like say with a boy, another boy is kind of assigned to show him the ropes and kind of make sure that he's not going astray, because I bet you're going to have some like that that gets so disenchanted, and I know you don't want that at all. That's a lot of kids to, and even to find some young people to kind of oversee, not a group. That would be pretty tough, but it all depends on of course the young boy and the young girl, if they could handle it. But that's a lot. You don't want to give them too much responsibility. But you don't have anything like that, do you? Like a buddy system where, okay, Marilyn, I'm going to watch over you. No, Marilyn, you can't go there. That's no. Today we go here and listen to me.
Currently, these homes are. If you can picture it, imagine it, these homes, these kids are raised in a family. They many times, are with their actual siblings by birth. But the other children in each home become their siblings. They have chores. They have to do their homework. There are consequences. Les and I all summer give pool parties here at our home, and the kids earn those pool parties by getting good grades and good behavior. And they try really, really hard right before the pool party to not make any mistakes, because they don't get to go to a pool but once a summer at our house. So, actually, our community. And so they're raised in a family, and they have discipline. And that comes from the director and wife, or director and husband, depending. They're the real heroes. It comes from the chaperones. They're called chaperones. But in each dorm, which the dorms are separated by boy, girl, and age groups, like I say, today I went to play with the babies, and that dorm has three and under. So they have 11 three-year-olds and under. And that mama takes care of those kids, and she's raising them as if they were her children, with discipline, love, consequences, and more love. Again, those are the heroes, because they live there full time. They never get a day off. Like, literally, think about it. What are you going to do?
No, it's just like living in a home and these are their kids. Right, every single
day,
24/7.
Right, there's no babysitters. They like it when people like us go and play with them, because they might be able to catch up on the laundry or mop the floor in the other room, but they're supervising like in a daycare center, only the daycare center never closes. So you have, when one child gets a cold, they all have the cold. So you're up all night, using the same example, 11 under three-year-olds who are all throwing up or whatever, and you still have to get up in the morning and make breakfast. So they're really, again, last Christmas we were only able to give the cooks an apron, a new apron. But can you imagine, our largest home is 97 kids, and there's only two cooks. And they have to
make school lunches,
breakfast. I mean, it's crazy what they have to do. And
all
now,
day,
fortunately, they have a lot more food. But it's still a matter that our 40-pound boxes of chicken, I can't believe how much food they get out of that chicken. I mean, it starts with probably barbecue, but I know it always ends up in pasta or rice or soup. I mean, every bone is just cooked to death so that they can get the most nutrition out of it. The good news is they do have more food since we began. We're proud of that. But there's really no limit to what we could give these kids. And I'm not talking about toys. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about building their self-esteem, teaching them English, you know, fostering their hope. There's a lot we can do. We just need support. Again, heartsofbaja.com, click on donate. I have retired teachers. They're just not willing to do it for free. I have other volunteers that ask for gas money. Les and I take nothing. We take zero out of anything. As a matter of fact, things like the 501, we just paid for it because we could and we needed it. But when it comes to gas, we spend almost $500 a month on gas just to go to all of the
homes.
How
far are you from How are you far are you from the homes? Like the closest
one? Well,
you live in California, right?
Pardon me?
I said you live in California?
No, I live in Rosarito Beach, Baja. We're in the middle of our home. Our furthest one north is very close to the border of Tijuana and San Diego. Our furthest inland is in the Guadalupe Valley, about 30 miles in the hills. And then south, just about 10 miles south of Ensenada in the El Zorillo area, is our furthest south. And so all 22 homes are in that region. As some have prospered, we've gone on to others that are more needy. It changes over time, the homes that we serve, because sometimes, for example, a church or a foundation will step up and say, here, we're going to adopt this home, and then we're no longer as needed. We go back every 90 days in that circumstance to make sure, because consistency is really so crucial. I mean, you can imagine, you live a real life. Around Christmas time, everyone comes out and says, oh, I want to help. But the day after Christmas, they've forgotten all about it. They shared with their friends on Facebook, said, ooh la la, look what I did, and then they're gone. We never see them again, and most of the time, nobody sees them again. What we've been trying to build is consistency. So, for example, another example, we have what's called the Maximize Grow Power. Before we started collecting maxi pads for the girls, the team girls, well, they're not all teams. They start around 12 and sometimes even 11 now. The girls had to stay home from school because of their periods. And, of course, that was completely unacceptable to me. So we started this program. We have some drop-off sites, and we also use the same PayPal to accept donations. And sometimes when I cross the border into California and I cross back, my car is loaded full of maxi pads, and you wouldn't believe the look on the border guy's eyes. They don't even want to stop me. They don't want to know.
Where are you going, lady?
Yeah, where are you going with all these?
So
we have,
are you selling these
126
what's in them?
Girls.
Yeah.
We have 126 girls that every month, and now instead of having
of
to stay home, they go to school. And in a country where it is male-dominated, if anybody gets to go to college, it's going to be a boy. Well, that's not okay with me. Girls are brilliant, just like boys are brilliant. And down here, to continue your education is $800 a year to go to college if you have room and board. So that's another program I am trying to ultimately start a scholarship. But I won't send anyone to college until I have the whole 4 years. I need the whole 4 years before I would feel confident, because I can't imagine somebody going to 2 years of college and then I have to say, I'm sorry, we didn't get enough money for your third year. I just can't do that. I wouldn't break someone's heart that way. But between Maximize and that hopeful eventual scholarship program, again, I hope we can help the girls. So all you feminists out there, $5 is not a lot to ask for, and I'm not shy about that.
No, it's not. It's not. And now, when they leave and go on their own, do many of them come back and check in to see, you know, here I'm doing, I like the success story. So do the younger ones get to hear those who have left and made lives for themselves, and it kind of shows them that, look what I did. You can do this too.
Absolutely. Good. And part of the reason is
you can't imagine
when
how my
leave,
heart and my soul are hurting right now. This really bothers me.
When they leave?
But in a good way.
They're leaving their family.
Yes.
That's their mom and dad. And if they're in a larger home where there's other chaperones, those are their aunts and uncles. They literally, the little kids will call for this example, we have three little girls in one home that we tried to adopt, and they said we were too old. Thank you very much. But so now they're just our goddaughters, I guess you could call them. But in that home, all of the kids call Hector and Alma Papi and Mama. They are, as I say, raised as a family. That home has 37 kids. It's very well run. The only thing they really needed was what we were capable of providing. They have different groups that come and do things like paint or fix the plumbing, things like that. But they always needed extra food. And so when they leave the homes, whether it's at 18 or after college or whatever, they almost always come back because that's their family. They think of the little kids as their little brothers and sisters and those people as their relatives, mom and dad, aunt and uncle. So they do come back. We see that a lot. One of my favorite stories is a boy and a girl. Once upon a time, a boy and a girl were at one of the homes as orphans, and there was some chemistry, but of course there's no chemistry allowed at the homes. I mean, boys just are not allowed to interact with girls and vice versa because it's just not okay. So they leave, they go on, they establish lives. They're now, you know, 25-ish, 26-ish. They go back on the same day to visit their past mom and dad, as I've explained.
Oh.
And they clicked. The chemistry was there. They got married. They took over their own orphanage. They've been married now for 9 years, have 3 of their own children, and have, I think that home has 28 or 29 kids in it. That's a love story. Two orphans who grow up, start their own, the whole thing. I love them. That's Jorge and Elizabeth, and their little kids are just as, and they run around with all the other kids. They're all just brothers and sisters. And as long as we can keep their basic needs met, these kids are happy. They're well loved, as best as you can imagine in a home that size. But when the lights go out or the water stops or there's just nothing left in the fridge, that's when they're not happy. And thankfully, we're doing the best we can to make that not happen again.
Marilyn, I have a question for you. And I don't like to bring politics into this, but I do have a question for you. So what's the Mexican side of things? In other words, what is their status? Are they supporting you, non-supporting you? Have they even reached out to you? And what is their involvement in all this?
We have one a realtor that supports us. He actually gives us a box of chicken every month. It's only one, but we take it. We say thank you. We feel thankful. But by and large, the Mexican population is pretty typical of many other countries in that this is an eyesore to them. There is definitely a class system that still exists around the globe, and they are embarrassed by this. So because they do not, or perhaps in some cases cannot, take care of this situation, they look the other way. We have campaigned a lot. And I've gone to so many meetings. Oh, my gosh, I thought I would fall asleep. I don't understand Spanish enough to sit through a 4-hour meeting that's done all in Spanish. But I didn't fall asleep. But when you pass out your business card, you see them left on the table. When you pass out a pamphlet, you just see them tossed. They, friends of mine that are Mexican have explained it to me thusly. They just don't want to know about it. It's a secret that they would prefer to keep a secret. Well, that's not the way we roll. So I hope that answers your question.
So, and thank you for telling me that. So my next question is how about the government? Have you had any contact from them?
No. Sadly, DEEF, again, Child Protective Services, they give approximately 7 to 9 days worth of each month of beans, rice, and powdered milk. And that's all they do. In terms of medical, the children can go get free medical, but a lot of times the transportation is the problem. There's only, I think, 3 general hospitals where they're allowed to go, similar to the way the U.S. has clinics for welfare patients. There's 3 of them, I believe. And so getting there, and then who's going to go? You know, who's going to drive them? That's gas money, that's a vehicle, and then who stays with the kids, the rest of the kids? So getting the child, unless it's a true emergency, it just doesn't happen very often. Dental, we have a rotary in the United States that comes down 3 times a year and goes to all of our homes, including the Boys and Girls Club, and they do dental screening and fluoride and education. We have, for the first time coming up in September, vision screening. I mean, Al, you know me. I have a big mouth, but I have a bigger heart, and I ask everywhere I go, in the most polite terms, how can you help my kids? And it's amazing how many wonderful and beautiful people I've met that have said, I can do that. So I met someone who wanted to give back, and they have their own ophthalmology department in somewhere in Calexico, I think it is. Yes, Calexico. So I said, well, do you think you could come and check our kids' eyes? And so they're coming. They're going to be here for 4 days checking kids' eyes. And I love that because how do we know they don't need glasses? How do we know they don't have cavities? Well, we can't do everything, but I love that people step up. That to me is the very best reward ever. If I can talk, and someone says, hey, let me help you with that, then I feel like I'm doing my job.
One
do you ever get a response from – oh, go ahead, Al, go.
One of the reasons, Lily, I wanted you to have this platform is because of what you're doing. And you deserve to have global attention and so that you can be supported for all that you do. So I applaud you for what you do, and that's one of the reasons why I asked Natalie to have you on her show, is because what you represent and what you're doing for all these kids. My next question to you, Marilyn, is what is the solution to this? How do we eliminate the root cause of what's causing this?
Well, first of all, thank you for your kind words. When I was 20 to 25, I actually, being a child of the 60s and 70s, I honestly believed by now we wouldn't have war, we wouldn't have poverty, we would have equality and no discrimination. All of my adult career, little by little, I had to realize that I couldn't make that change, that certainly by myself I couldn't make that change, but that in my own backyard, wherever I was at the time, at whatever age I was, I could try, and I've never stopped trying. I think planet Earth is just not ready to acknowledge these crimes against humanity. The children going to bed hungry and cold is just, it's so wrong. But I don't think planet Earth is populated yet enough with people like us that get it, that see that what's important in life is taking care of each other, loving each other, and being united in that. We still, unfortunately, have a lot of people that just don't see it that way. So the answer for me in this moment is, I don't think we're there yet, and I wish we were, but I don't see us there yet. I'll keep trying, and
because
I know you will too.
Sometimes I'll tell my guests, I wish I had this, you know, I have a goddaughter, and she calls me her fairy godmother, And I'll say to her when we talk on the phone, I wish I could fix it for everybody all over the world. And I know all of you and Al feel the same way, but that's just magical. But with people like you, Marilyn, and Al, and myself, and all the listeners, and we probably should have you on again, Marilyn, maybe just before the holidays or something, so that we can generate, I'm looking at the sheet that my Jackie does for me on all of my guests, and like Christmas time is coming, you're going to need things, not just day-to-day stuff, but look, $18 can buy you a 40-pound box of frozen chicken. I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's amazing.
We cut a deal. we cut a deal with a local market, kind of a small box store. They used to be called small box stores, kind of like the Smart and Final type that used to be, you know, like Costco, only smaller. because that's another aspect that I guess we can talk about if we have time. I had previously mentioned that a lot of children get dropped off for the winter because their parents can't support them. It's only since January we started an outreach program to the locals. Last summer, just like everywhere, we had fires, and the box houses were just burnt. They lost everything, and even though their everything wasn't much, it was all gone. And then this past winter, even though we only had 3 storms and it didn't really help the reservoirs much, the storms were pretty powerful, and again, everything, mudslides, flooded, all of that. So what we had learned was some of the things that were donated to us, we just didn't need for the kids. So we started giving them out to the local people. And that has grown, which is another branch that we hope to continue, because the biggest problem down here for the local people is shoes. And if anyone out there listening knows of a company that could help donate shoes, please call in or go to our website.
There is, Marilyn,
email.
And I can't think of it. I will look it up for you. There is a company where they donate tennis shoes. I don't think they make them in the United States. I will look that up for you. But there is.
Well, that would be wonderful.
I think it's not just one gentleman. I think he started this, sending shoes all over. I mean, United States, everywhere. I mean, he just didn't. I think he's in the United States. I'm almost certain he is. And
to go to school without shoes, and
right.
Without getting political, I don't care to do that. But we have men, lots of men, that could be hired to work on the farms, but they can't accept the position because they don't have shoes. They have to have at least sturdy tennis shoes. They don't have to have fancy work boots, but they have to have sturdy tennis shoes or they won't let them on site. So what you see is it's just a ton of people barefoot, and that is one area that I would love to focus on, because kids can't go to school without shoes. Men can't get a job because they don't have shoes. We have enough shoes in the back of our closets to provide enough shoes for this entire area. And I know that, and you know that. I can give out my address. You can mail me your shoes. I simply know that that's another one of those things, like maxi pads and school supplies and chicken. That's one of those things that most people would never even think about. The downside of not having shoes. And that's not even just
right.
In the winter when it's cold. That's just every day.
Right.
Men and women and
you
children
walking
around.
You hear about places in the United States. I know we're talking about Mexico. But is this going on? This must be going on in the United States as well, I'm sure. Although they might have state funding, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, but I found some places already. You go on Google, a company that donates shoes. There's quite a few of them. But there's a famous one, and that's the one I want to find.
Okay.
Maybe my son might know. But I will. Let me see what.
Okay.
Let me see what I can find out for you on that.
My answer to you that it's probably going on everywhere. It is going on everywhere. And I know that there's lots of people that their heart is in Nigeria, their heart is in Uganda, their heart is in San Diego. That's okay with me.
Yeah.
I have like an invisible tattoo on my forehead that says literally, anyone who is helping anyone is good with me. I know that this is where I live. I also do have to say the United States does have programs. They do. If your child in San Diego County or any county in the United States doesn't have shoes, I know that there is a lot of Rotaries, Lions Clubs, all of those places where you can go get glasses for your child. Because as a high school teacher, I asked those same organizations for help many times for my students who were of low income, and I was successful. I got them dental work. I got them glasses. Down here, it's not the same. In any country without those programs, you have the same needs. You just don't have the same opportunities.
There is a place, Marilyn, it's called Tom's. They have already given to 70 countries, but they also have giving partners. It's called Tom's. This seems to be, yeah, I'm a Google fanatic. Well, I've got all these monitors and I do so much. Al knows I'm just like, you want to know something? I'll find it.
Well, you keep Googling and I'll keep playing with babies.
There you go. Yeah, but there's just India, China. Oh, and you can connect with them. Oh, they're also on Facebook. I will send you this link and maybe we can start
Thank
there
you.
For them. But this is also for those who are in the United States. You know, Marilyn is talking about Mexico and you're thinking to yourself, well, okay, but what about where we live? But you've got to get involved. So this is a universal thing. And she's telling you a story about what's going on in Mexico. And it could be happening in California someplace, in some obscure place. Al probably knows about it. I don't live there. I'm in South Carolina. And, you know, you can bet. I mean, we have soup kitchens here. But it seems that most of the people just seem to do things around the holidays. Well, this is a 365-day job. This is something
Correct.
That has to be continuous. It's almost like, okay, I'll do this month, you do next month, then you do next month. I mean, everybody could help everybody, and it's just, and I am on a podium, and it's because I love people so much. It's because I have this big heart. I'm not very big. I'm only 5'2", but I have sustained an awful lot in my life, and I'm still standing. And we need to get all the young people all over the world, because I have listeners from all over, because they write for the magazine, that you need to focus on things. You need to investigate. Don't sit behind your door. I'm always looking for things to do. I will see what I can do over here on my end, but I'm really thinking, Marilyn, and Al, of course, would be there. We need to do this maybe again, because things are going to change for you in a few months. It's going to get cold,
well, I
right?
I would love to. And
I think it's good. And also now I'm going to put something in my blog tomorrow for you that goes
Thank
out.
Thank you.
And I promote that. And then I can put it in my magazine, and I'll go to your site, and I'll just do all that kind of stuff, all that fancy stuff that I do, copy and paste
Thank
and images
you so much.
And all that.
I wanted to kind of put it in perspective for everyone who's listening. Globally, the last statistic I received was 28 million abandoned children. So picture your own children or your brother or sister's children, your nieces and nephews, et cetera, and think of everything that goes into, at 18, producing a courteous, kind-hearted, compassionate, intelligent, motivated person who is going to make a good employee, a good spouse, a good neighbor, a good coworker. Think of all of the things that go into that upbringing. And then fast forward to what if we didn't do and say and teach all of those billions of things that a parent, grandparents, aunts and uncles do to help that child thrive and to become that exceptional good person. Well, 28 million kids aren't getting that. And so from whatever country anyone decides they want to help, go for it. In my case,
exactly.
Yes, I'm very happily retired in Mexico, heartsabaja.com, asking you to donate one glass of wine, one cup of coffee, whatever you can. But in my neighborhood, which is kind of the big neighborhood, I'm just trying to make sure that they have basic needs and more so that we can offer those kids the 6,000 in this region. Of course, we're only doing 706, but that 706 can have more of what they should have had all along, and that's what we're committed to.
I want to add some clarity here really quick for the audience. So in the area that we're talking about is Baja California, which is south of San Diego. Now, when you think of Hawaii, and even though it's part of the United States, there's a separation there. Well, the same thing exists with Baja. Baja, even though it's part of Mexico, there's a separation between Baja and Mexico, the mainland Mexico, by the Sea of Cortez. And you can, when you talk to the locals here, you can sense there's a separation between mainland Mexico and Baja. So really, in my perspective, as I've talked to the locals here, Baja is like it's on its own. There's a lot of expats here. There's a lot of Canadians here, Americans. and the Mexican and the local indigenous population. And it's like in a little country all on its own. And it's Baja California, even though it is part of Mexico. But there's a separation between Baja and Mexico mainland. And there's a separation between Baja and the U.S. by the border. So it's like on its own. And I know that exists in all the other parts of the world, but that's how Baja is. So when we say it's Mexico, yes, it is part of Mexico, but it's like separated on its own on a little peninsula.
Yes, well stated. And Mexico is a very vast country. A lot of it is unpopulated. And yes, there's areas that are not all that great. Everybody knows those headlines. But one of the things that is very commonly said by almost 60,000 retirees who chose to move down here is that we live in paradise. But I would say 50,000 of that 60,000 within 6 months, just like us, comes to realize it's paradise for us with our retirement from the U.S. and everything that we're able to have here by living on the beach, all of that. For us, it's paradise. But once you open your eyes and take the blinders off, then you realize that the local people do not live in paradise. And the people here have welcomed us into their country. They are warm and loving, family-oriented, literally God-fearing, and wonderful people. They really, I cannot even begin to tell you, perhaps on another conversation, the Mexican people here that we interact with appreciate us so much because they are not the government, they are the people. And the government is not supporting these abandoned children or the locals who are impoverished. The expat community is by and large the ones who are helping, and they appreciate it so much. So I welcome you all to come visit me anytime in my paradise.
Well, Al's always inviting me to come down there. I've only been in the California area once in my life, so maybe one of these days, and if I get in the vicinity, you can bet I will be meeting Marilyn Wood. Now
that would be lovely.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's nice to meet people that are the same, of the same. I touch with a lot of people all over the world, but to hear stuff like this, and I'm sure it's in every country, it's in every state. So this is not just we're not just saying Mexico. We are also saying that the United States is the same, and people need to get a grip. You know, what is this about? This is sad.
Yes.
Think about it. It's so sad. I feel, like I said, I will do what I can on my end. I've got this thing that I'm going to send
you.
To you. It's called a gift of shoes. They do that. They also give a gift of water. They do other things here that what they give, they say. And they have other places that are helping. And it's not just they help in the United States, yes. They've given more than 86 million pairs of shoes for children in need.
That's awesome.
Now, yes. So I'm sure there's something that you have to fill out, Marilyn, or whatever, but I bet you any money, you'll get it from them. They have winter boots. They have locally produced shoes. They have all kinds of stuff here. And I don't know what this gift of water is. I can't tell you what that is because I'd have to click on that. They give 140 liters of safe water, a week's supply to a person in need all over the world.
That's amazing.
So
that's
far they've
amazing.
Done, I'm actually promoting them. Listen to me. I would be really good on this. Over 600,000 weeks of safe water to people in need.
Exceptional. I met an Eagle Scout last week, and his group, I forget what you call it, Eagle Scout group, sorry, they're phenomenal young men. They learned how to make water purifiers using some very basic, like large soda bottles and things like that, so that people that live in the hills of everywhere could purify their water. Because, again, you think about it. You don't have a house. You don't have plumbing. You don't have electricity. You literally live in a box. That's why they're called the box people. And they don't have anything. But those things that the Eagle Scouts made, they made like 150 of them. And they brought them around, and now those people can take water that is not drinkable and turn it into water that is at least able to cook. Because a lot of them, we purchased like a one-burner propane stove, and you use the small-sized propane things. And propane in Mexico is very cheap, so that's not a big-ticket item. But they can cook then, and there's a lot more you can eat if you can cook just on one burner. So the world is a beautiful, wonderful place, but when you peel back a few layers, there's so many things, and just so many people could do more. I'm doing my best, you're doing your best, Al's doing his best. Let's just try to add a few more people to our gang and see what we can accomplish, because I believe we can accomplish a lot together.
Exactly, me too. Well, we're going to have you on again. I want to also give that that site out again. It is heartsofbaja.com, and you have a button there that you can donate through PayPal. I will send you what I have just found with this place called Tom's, and I believe it's in the United States, but I'm really good at doing searches. I find everything. But really, that's what Google is. I mean, all you have to do is type in a question. How do I do this? Where do I go for this? And it'll give you pages and pages of answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's accessible even by a cell phone if you have one, you know, if you have a laptop. And that's another question I have. Are these kids learning are they getting computer skills somehow? Are they, of course, you'd have to have that to be able to work on, and you'd have to have a classroom for it and all of that.
We recently had 8 notebooks donated, and my husband has just finished reformatting them. And those 8 are going to be given to 8 students who are going on to college. They begin classes the end of August. So during August, he'll be getting with each of those 8 students to, just show them how to do it. Because living in the homes, no, they do not have technology. And for the Americans out there, you can laugh at this, most of the homes don't have TV. So they are at a disadvantage once they leave the home. They know what a cell phone is and things like that because their directors have them and such. But they know what a computer is. But, no, they don't have access to Wi-Fi and Facebook and research through Google. It's just not part of their realm. So our hope is to continue to get those donated. Don't forget Black Friday. Kindle Fires are down to $39.99 last year. We can give technology to these kids, which better prepares them for when they do go out into the real world. Because you can imagine, again, wow, to be so far behind the learning curve, you're 18 years old and you don't know how to do that. I think that's terrible. I mean, you can't exist in the world anymore without
going
technology.
Going into college, yeah. My granddaughter started, she was in grade school. Now she's starting her first year of high school. But I remember in grade school, she had a notebook to bring home. I mean, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, it's amazing. But you have to be a part of that world. You have to. You have to learn, and they have to have the opportunity because it's all digital. Al knows, and he's probably nodding his head, it's all digital. That's what it is. I mean,
absolutely.
And once you start to learn something, you get this thirst. I didn't have it when I was a little girl. I mean, I read a lot, but it's only been the last my webmaster has been with me 9 years now. He's been the one, actually, talk about being blessed, that has taught me so much that I can do a lot and I don't even need him. But, there again, you have to have somebody willing to help and to show these kids. And this is not just in Mexico. I want to emphasize that. This is all over the world, in the United States also. You might not know
these
about
are the
it,
kids,
but I'm
These are the kids who are going to grow up and take care of the planet Earth. We need them.
That's right.
To have basic
future.
Food, basic shelter. And like I've said, Les and I have, my husband, we have a lot of dreams for future programs. It's we have to focus, in order to be consistent, we have to make sure food comes first and then keeping the lights turned on and the water flowing, because the companies that do the power and electric, they don't care if it's a regular house or an orphanage. When you don't pay your bill, they turn you off. So we've had to prioritize, but we have a lot of things like technology and teaching English and the whole Myers-Briggs and helping them identify their future. Those are all things that with more support we can make happen, but that's what it takes. It takes the village being larger. And I thank you so much for allowing me to tell you my stories. I have about a million more stories if you ever want to hear more. But this
well,
is
we
a
will,
worthwhile
and you, we have you back.
We
I mean,
in.
We have it set. My gal Candy's in the chat room right now. Everybody's my gal. You know, you're my gal, Marilyn. Everybody. Blonde, this
happy
is mine.
To be.
Don't you dare.
Very
yeah,
happy to be.
She sent you a private message on your Facebook because she's got something that she wanted to share with you. It is called, let me look here. She sent it to me, and I said, the Myers-Briggs test is it's a personality test to determine what you are best suited for because you were talking about something, but she sent you a message. Her name is Candy, K-A-N-D-I. She works for me
okay.
on STARS.
And that's
and
the exact test that I administered for 24 years as a high school special ed teacher and doing job coaching. That is the
yep.
precise test that I want to get my hands on in Spanish.
Well, she says
so,
it is. That's what she said to me.
Fantastic.
I can send her the link to the Spanish version. See, because she's in the chat room
fantastic.
And she is listening. Yes. So I will tell her, go ahead and send it to her. Send it to you on Facebook, or she'll send it to me. We'll get it to you. There's just so much, and the more you network and be on radio stations and radio shows like mine, and there are a lot of others. I do this because I love people. I love promoting. I do the magazine. I mean, I'm just sitting like really high in my chair when I get all this beautiful work out there. I've told people that before. Last week I had a gentleman that I interviewed, and I told him. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, I change. I just sit up really straight because I'm bringing out all this beautiful stuff for everybody to see. And
you're
empowered. I mean, I have contacts all over the world, I'm telling you, because I've been doing the magazine since 1999. And I was telling Al before you came on that used to be I would have to, you know, solicit material to come to me. Now my mailbox is so jammed, everybody wants interviews. Everybody wants to send me something.
Good
and
for you.
I have a reviewer. But, you know, to me it's, you know, it's, I want to say it's fun, but it just does something for me. It just makes me feel really good to be able to do this and to help people. And Al is the same way.
Well, it's because
we know you are.
You're a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And if more
yeah.
people were
oh,
like
yeah.
you and thought of it that way, I think the
yeah.
world would be a better place. If we could all
yeah.
just remember
well,
that we should all be a part of the solution.
You have to keep getting out. And if they keep listening to my show, they hear me. I mean, I have talked about things. I have cried on the show. And I'm not afraid of how I feel. I'm really a super empath. I feel everything. And it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. But for the people that are listening, I have one gal, and I could say her name, but I'm not going to do that. I'd have to ask her permission. But she listens to the show every Wednesday, and I'm sure she's listening tonight. Oh, yes, she's active. And she's going to say, oh, Natalie, what a show. And, you know, I didn't do it for 3 months, Marilyn. Al knows. And then he interviewed me the first week back, and I'm back doing something just as important that I did before and bringing somebody like you on. We will have you back again. We'll discuss dates and stuff and get you back on here closer, maybe not right near the holidays, but before it, so we have some time. And I'll send you some of this information that I know that I just found for you from Tom's. And get you started on that, and maybe.
Thank you
maybe,
so much.
Well, I don't know what you'll have to do for it, but I'm sure you'll have to produce something, you know, that they they are looking for so that they can supply you. And also, when you contact them, you ask if there are other organizations. Don't just stop with them. Push forward. Just ask. That's all
great.
You got to do.
That's a great point.
I mean, I can call
point.
Them, too. I mean, I'm like a so-and-so on wheels when I get started. I'm very sweet and I'm very kind. But I think we should back up all the children all over the world. And all the people that are homeless. Oh, Marilyn, it's appalling. It's just awful. I don't see it. I'm not exposed to it. But I know, you know, I'm not far from Savannah. There's a lot of bad areas in Savannah, Georgia, and I'm about maybe 20 minutes away, maybe not quite. But there are areas there that you see people walking the streets, and it's just, yeah, I know, they've gone astray. That's what they've done. They've gone astray. They're just trying to maneuver to stay alive. But we're talking about the little people that are going to be growing up running the world. They are going to be out there, and we want them to have a good background and be good people. And we want them to know that, yes, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, yes. You will do well. Just persevere, work really hard, and that's enough on my podium for tonight, Marilyn. Because I could talk for
I
hours.
I absolutely
on it.
Care about people, humans of all ages, and animals, the horses, the dogs, everything. I
that's
very
right.
much love all
that's
creatures,
right.
but children didn't have a chance to make choices. They didn't have a chance to go down a good path
no.
or stray, as you call it. They were born into circumstances that they couldn't control at all, and that's why my heart is with the children, and I just want to give them a fighting chance, because sooner or later they will be in control of the planet, and we need them to have all of the attributes of a good person, and I want to continue to be able to offer them safety and security. Perhaps next time we speak, we could talk about we have two homes that are boys and girls that have been rescued from sex trafficking, and they live in lockdown.
Oh, wow.
Images.
Yep.
And that's
kind of good
to
hear.
Go into.
Right, yes. And that's good to hear that, you see, even kids like that were put out to earn money, there is a way. And there's probably kids that are all over that are put out like that. And, oh, like I said, if I just had a wand, Marilyn, I'd fix it all. All in
well,
one
I'd
sleep,
be right there
me.
With you. Right there
you
with
would.
You.
You would. So, Marilyn, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you, Al.
Welcome.
For being here and introducing me to Marilyn, because, of course, Marilyn, you are his contact, and he gave me a list of all these people. And you were one of them, and
well,
I'm very happy
so much
that I got to meet
me.
You. Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Much love to you, and I will contact you, and I'll give you some dates, like maybe in November-ish, or so
Perfect.
Early November, and we'll do this again, okay?
Fantastic, and thank you so much, Al, for offering me this opportunity. Heart to Baja, thanks you. And thank you, Natalie.
Okay,
bye-bye.
You have
a wonderful
evening. Yeah, have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Look for my email the next day or so, because I'm going to be sending you some stuff, okay?
I absolutely will. Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Much love to you. And as I
All
always
right.
close my show, and Al knows, believe in things you cannot see, because they really are there. Good night, everybody. See you next week.